Welcome to Treasury Talk, a podcast featuring timely tips and information for Michigan taxpayers, hosted by State Treasurer Rachel Eubanks. Listen for takeaways from our subject matter experts that will support you, your family, and your business.
Hello to our listeners. I'm Rachel Eubanks, and this is Treasury Talk. We're discussing leadership best practices on this episode, and our guest is Corey Grant, Chief Operating Officer for Michigan Department of Treasury. Welcome, Corey.
Thank you, Treasurer.
Corey, it's hardly already March. March makes it Women's History Month, and a terrific reason to weave in women in leadership into our discussion on leadership best practices. Can you start by telling our listeners about your background in the military and private sector before you landed in state government?
Thank you, Treasurer. I'd be happy to. I spent almost 11 years on active duty. I was both enlisted and officer, and I think having gone through both gave me a good foundation from a leadership perspective. Most people don't realize the military is very big on leadership. They've got a number of courses that you go through. So as an enlisted person, I did non-commissioned officers school, airman leadership school. And then as I went on to officer training school, there were additional courses thereafter. So it was a plethora and quite the background and a foundation that was able to carry me right into the civilian workforce. So I had a stint in IT security prior to going into work at UPS. And I had the opportunity to rotate and do a lot of different things while I was there.
Yeah. Why did you decide to pursue a path in the military and the Air Force?
Actually, part of that is because I started, I had a scholarship to MSU. And from a small town, Houghton Lake, I was a little overwhelmed and switched to Central Michigan University last minute. And it gave me the opportunity to practice and see what I really wanted to get into. So running track at the same time, they let me take some senior level courses as a freshman. And I learned real quick that the path I had chosen and I wanted to go into probably wasn't the one for me. And then I could have handled MSU. So instead, I was like, okay, I'm going to go see the world. And I turned around and signed up for the Air Force.
That's incredible. An incredible story. And you've had so many portions of your career that are in service. So I just want to thank you for that. So I recently heard the story of your humanitarian mission, speaking of service, to tsunami victims in Thailand while you were a logistics officer in the Air Force. I found what you experienced 1 year later at a crisis training when you returned to Thailand just as compelling.
Yeah, it was quite the interesting experience. I mean, when we got the phone call, you have your day job and then you get a phone call. It was New Year's Eve and they're like, hey, have you seen the weather? We had to stop doing what we were doing and just jump into action. But you train for that, right? So we were prepared. We immediately got folks rolling, had folks deployed and ready on the ground supporting the mission in less than 24 hours. And it was actually by accident I had the opportunity to go back a year later. I do have a Corey is a first name. It can be misinterpreted before pictures were an everyday part of Teams and Microsoft Outlook. But at that time, I was set as a replacement, so everybody had already gone forward. And when I landed, the embassy representative was a little startled, to say the least. And he was like, whoa, you're a woman. Like, this cannot be happening. Not that there was anything wrong with me, just geopolitical efforts vary from country to country, right? So he's like, whatever you do, just be quiet. I had a male counterpart there. He's like, just tell him everything you need to say. He can do all of the talking. And long story short, by midweek, our counterparts asked for me to be able to talk. It was the Mongolian general. He was tired of hearing everything from my Paduk counterpart. And, you know, we speak different languages. So we tend to get siloed in our activities. But it turned out well. It was a great learning experience. I had wonderful people around me. And I had a chance to do some really neat things as a woman.
I loved what you said about how seriously the military takes leadership training. And that kind of is, I think, a nice segue to the next portion of my questions, which is, the study of leadership and how it affects an organization is so interesting. And so just a mini overview for our listeners. Back in the early 60s, Douglas MacGregor formalized his famous Theory X, Theory Y on worker motivation and leadership style. So Doug was a local guy, by the way, which he got his undergrad at Wayne State before continuing on at Harvard. And he believed that a manager's assumptions about their employees determine their leadership style in the workplace. So Theory X is often called the classical or coercive approach to leadership and emphasizes well-established lines of authority and clearly defined jobs. Classic X example would be the military. Theory Y is the participative approach and focuses on involving employees in decision-making and giving them creative control to instill self-motivation. So good Y examples include LinkedIn or Google. There are currently many subsets of X and Y approaches as workplaces and attitudes have changed over the last 60 years, but most of our institutional knowledge on leadership best practices still don't consider women in leadership roles. So Corey, if you try to go back to the classic Theory X, coercively pulled rank in Thailand, would it have backfired?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. But that's where I think the military, with all of its training, prepares you for that. There's some interesting exercises you'll go through to essentially be prepared for anything. And I wouldn't necessarily subscribe myself to Theory X or Y, but probably a combination of what we've kind of coined situational leadership, because things have evolved. But there's a time and a place for every type of leadership is my philosophy. And although to a degree, LinkedIn and Google and their Theory Y works for what they're doing in that startup world, so does the kind of chain of command and Theory X that the military offers. And it's finding that balance based on the situation you're involved in and the people that are a part of that scenario, because everything's different and it's not all one and the same. And I think having that flexibility is what's really key to the process.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that, you know, in finding your own styles, I think you can borrow or study different leadership styles, but then borrow the pieces that feel kind of most authentic to yourself and your own leadership style. And so that kind of way that you've talked about blending it, I think really matches with, you know, kind of my personal leadership style. I think, you know, in this role as treasurer, there are times when you have to, you know, really exert yourself and say, okay, we're going to go in this direction. But I also personally feel very comfortable with trying to inspire people, bring them along, you know, and rowing the boat along with them, to borrow a term from sports, and, you know, try to all accomplish the same goal. So it's a very interesting way to think about, you know, how can we blend the pieces that make us feel like we're being our best selves.
I totally agree. I think that's actually the most important piece about leadership, is not thinking you have to subscribe to one or the other, because new information comes out all the time. We referenced the local gentleman from Wayne State. Now he moved on to Harvard, but new books come out all the time. And if you read something with a, you know, say a brain or psychology background, it's slightly different than what Theory X or Theory Y might say. But the general principles tend to be the same, and it's just the different application of that.
Absolutely. And as, you know, thinking back to your time in the military, and you mentioned that you were a non-commissioned officer, NCO, you know, did you have other people in that chain of command that you could look up to who were women?
Yes, all kinds of them. Statistically speaking, I've told folks that when my mom, I first went to my first duty assignment, she came to visit and she said to my chief, which is unheard of, right? You're making sure nothing bad happens to her, right? I was mortified. But at the same time, it was a great experience because he happened to be a man, but he walked her out, introduced her to a number of the women non-commissioned officers I reported to. And he's like, look, she had some college experience. We made her a boss, but she's got these folks to rely on. And they really set me up for success to have numerous people, men and women, that I could refer to and lean on as mentors.
Yeah, I've also appreciated the mentors that I've had in my life that have been men and women, of course. But, you know, given some of the fields that we've both been in, it's more common that you'll see men in leadership. And I think one of the more challenging parts is, you know, in trying to find your authentic style, how do you emulate that as somebody who's kind of coming up in that and finding those styles? So in some ways, you've had to chart some of this on your own.
Yeah, to a degree. And that's where I think in that workplace, whether it was in the military where I had kind of those first assigned mentors, and then you get involved in extracurricular activities. I played volleyball. So you create other mentorship relationships through those other avenues, and it's tying them together, whether that's through volunteerism or assignment. And then before you know it, you've got a really big group of folks that you can call on, no matter what you're engaged in, and then bounce ideas off of them. So it's like this constant evolution of mentorship.
And as you're thinking through that constant evolution of mentorship, as somebody looks at Corey and says, one day I want to be a chief operating officer, one day I want to be a deputy treasurer, you know, what kind of advice would you give to a woman or anybody aspiring to achieve that position?
If I think about this, I'd say the advice is the same regardless of who's interested, is Just be a good person. Honestly, if you listen to the people around you and you're willing to constantly learn and engage with them, you can accomplish anything. It's really about your interests and maintaining that internal motivation and being able to make a difference in the lives of others. I tell folks at the time, I didn't follow this list or that list to get where I'm at today. It's a squiggly line. You go up, you go down, you go sideways. It wasn't one day I will be chief operations officer. It happened. It evolved based on the opportunities that were around you. And folks nudging me, I honestly hadn't seen the physician until somebody said, hey, did you see this? I think you're a perfect fit for it. I told y'all in my interview, at first I didn't apply because I thought it was a pretty antiquated process. It was very, very robust requirements to even put in an application. And then the second time they nudged me, it's like, okay, I know it doesn't hurt to do it. I went forward with it and here I am and I'm loving the job. So anybody can do it. It's just about what they want to give back.
Well, I'm glad you're loving it because we love having you here. I certainly have appreciated your leadership style and all the expertise that you bring to that. And, you know, the gifts that you've given the department and pulling us through, you know, a variety of situations. So I very much appreciate that too. And I mean, I do think, you know, as we think forward about what our future leaders may look like, you touched on something as well, which is, you know, making sure that opportunities are available for women and nudging them when necessary to bring them along and having a vision in those people. And I've had the same experience really where, you know, I necessarily have not been the most, you know, aggressive about seeking positions, but have responded when people have suggested me for them. And I think that might be also just a difference that we see among, you know, men and women, various genders, is that maybe a different style there. And so a good reminder for all of us to think about, you know, who there may be ready for that next step, who may not be raising your hand.
You're absolutely right. We talked about this a number of times in a program I participated in Atlanta called the Young Women's Leadership Forum. They're still ongoing today, and their focus is to grow women in the greater Atlanta area. It's not limited to women, and there's interaction with a number of male groups and the like, but we need to unbatch one another more because statistically speaking, men will apply for something they're maybe 50% qualified for. Most women will wait until they're 80, 90%. And my statistics are probably wrong, but we don't go about it in the same way. So we do need to lift one another up more and really be that nudge that says, you got this, you can do this, and go for it.
Right. And a lot of that collaborative experience is important too, and that collaborative support structures. You know, I've been a part of many boards that were focused towards women. And of course, you know, part of that, sure, was the outcomes of what the board was trying to accomplish. But it was also, you know, the structures and the mechanics within the board that got you used to, you know, taking the lead and volunteering for things and putting yourself out there. So getting practice at kind of a smaller level before you have to, you know, kind of bring it into your day-to-day job.
Yeah. And that's one great thing that the military was good at. Beyond the actual courses they had set up for different levels of leadership, in your day job, they said, hey, we want you to run with this project. And okay, now you're going to do this. And you don't think about it because you just assume it's part of your day in and day out work, but it's not. Those were little tests and challenges to see you grow and explore things in a safe environment. And we're trying to do some of the same things here at Treasury.
Absolutely. Well, this has been truly a fascinating conversation about leadership. Listeners can find related resources and online links in the podcast show notes. Thank you, Corey, for sharing your practical experience with us, and I appreciate your insight on Treasury Talk.
Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.